At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
A bit too much? I say brand too many times.
Yeah.
Well, it's just, your delivery is so great.
It's good.
You ask a lot of questions.
It's very good.
You make someone wait
for an answer. I like
it's
that.
All really well prepared.
I like it. Monorail. Monorail. Are we going to build a monorail?
You guys.
We're going to have a monorail through St. Louis.
You and both of you guys put the pathetic in apathetic. I just came up with that.
It's very good. It's very good.
Yeah. Pretty good, right?
It's excellent. Oh, it's... Yes, you've hit something there. You've struck gold.
He's hitting something right now. That's for sure.
Dave with the suit, ice in his veins. Josh cracking jokes, never mundane. Oh, my wild card, twisting your brain. Together they roll, FTS the name. Life's petty props, kick to the curb. Dave got the logic, never disturbed. Josh with the punchline, sharp like a verb. Oh, my, the eccentric, slick like an herb. Friends talking shop.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the FTS podcast, Friends Talking Shop. We are here today to bring you episode 90. 90 decades.
Well, not
of podcasts. I guess
that doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
90 podcasts.
I graduated high school in 1990.
You graduated high school in 1990? Oh, so this is pretty special for you because it has.
You're the class. No, the class of 90.
Remember, we all this hope back then.
So true.
It's so true. A lot of hope. A lot of hope.
I did realize we are the number one podcast again in speaking over each other. I don't know if you have noticed this. I've listened to a couple of episodes and some of your Instagram posts, Josh.
Yeah, we do.
We speak over each other constantly.
A lot.
So I issue a challenge to us is that we try our best to wait till someone finishes and then we talk after that. Like try to... There, you did it right there. I was almost done with my
sentence. That was grunting over you, though. That was not speaking over.
All right, fair
enough.
I'll let, noises are fine, but new thoughts. Has to be sort of at the end of after someone's sentence. Do you think that's... I don't know if we could do it. I throw it out there as a challenge.
Do you think that's what our listeners want? Yeah, probably. They probably do.
Well, you said yourself, you will have to silence one of us in order for jokes to come through.
Every once in a while, we step on each other's. Yeah. A good line or so. Yeah, that's true.
I don't want to defang you guys.
Okay.
But I just throw that out there. Omar, how do you feel about that? No, he's not saying
anything. I mean, I don't know. Listen, see, this is the difference, right? This is why, David, if we were bartenders, right, you would make the most precise drinks, but no one would want to talk to you. No, this is that, Josh. I know you're thinking the same thing. Right, you have to just go with the moment. At the end of the day, we're looking to have meaningful connection with each other and our listeners.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. I don't give a fuck about being polite. I want to engage.
Yes.
Right.
And I want to
tickle.
You want to tickle? You want a tickle?
He wants to tickle. I think.
I don't like getting tickled, actually. So.
Yeah,
I want to tickle the imagination.
He's a tickler. So would you rather get a drink that is right on point with no conversation with the bartender or get one that's a little sloppy but you get some good banter in that 40 seconds that you're standing at the bar?
Yeah.
This is your problem, guys. Never let perfect end the way of good. What is a perfect drink? The one that gets in my hand by the time I order.
Well, that's me.
That's Dave.
No, you're too meticulous. You're measuring. I'm just pouring it in. Here you go.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay. All right.
I'm misunderstood.
It's also not a good metaphor at all for doing a podcast. So there's that.
Well, we are back. Episode 90.
90.
I'm your host, Dave. One of your hosts, Dave. And looking forward to bringing this forward to you. It took 90 episodes for Omar to get his microphone and his camera and everything worked perfectly from the start. So congratulations,
perfect.
Omar. You have done it. Took 90 tries and you got it.
He logged in and it was ready to go for maybe the first time in 90 episodes. And it was
How do you feel?
Amazing.
I don't like this feeling. This is my I probably won't do this again.
Well, you better like it.
I don't know what it is. My brain, my neural pathways in my brain, I don't receive acknowledgement or praise in a positive manner.
Yeah.
All right. What if you were to do that, but we would still tell you that you're awful and we hate you and this is not working for us, but you still show up on time with proper equipment work?
That would be much more effective because I'd be shamed into doing it.
That's called compromise. And we just reached it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Best compromise I've heard all day.
Take a listen, Senate and House of Representatives. That's how you do it.
That's right. Big, beautiful podcast.
Big, beautiful podcast right here, episode 90.
Episode 90. Well, I'm your host, Dave, and I'm joined by my two other hosts, as usual. First is Josh. Josh, how you doing?
I am doing well. I actually just saw Dave. Omar, I don't know if you know that. You're looking all around for something and probably distracting everyone who's watching us on YouTube. What did you get there? What did you just find? Were they pills?
I roll my own cigarettes.
Oh, got it. That's what you were looking for. All right. So strike what we said before about being prepared and ready on time. So I just saw Dave actually out in St. Louis. We had our big event. And on the way out there, however, I was on a full flight. You're going to get another flight story, Omar. I know how much you love these. I was on a full flight. And one of my big annoyances is when the plane lands and it taxis in and the captain turns off the seatbelt sign, right? The ding, like, okay, we're at the gate. Everybody gets up and they're rushing. You can't, it's only one person can get out of this plane at a time. And if you're in the 15th, 20th, 30th row, you're not getting out for some time. So there's no reason for you to get up and get your suitcase and rush to get all your shit together. It's annoying. And what happens inevitably is that people who come in like the boarding group 6 or 7 or 8, and they don't have the headspace for their bags over where they sit, they have to go maybe further back and put it there. That's what happened with this one older guy. And his bag, his roller bag, was right over me. And he immediately, that bell dinged, and then he got up like flash lightning, went immediately over right above me and just opened the thing and then pulled out his roller bag with one hand, and it hit me square in the head, and it just hurt like a bitch. I mean, he dropped this thing on me, and this was heavy.
Black out?
Heavy. No, I didn't black out, but I immediately said, I screamed, "Son of a bitch!" I was like, wow. I was startled because I didn't expect it. You know,
that's your go-to startle.
What do you mean phrase? Go-to? That's my go-to startled phrase. No, it's whatever pops out. It's whatever.
But still, it would take a lot for me to like get hurt and struck and like say "son of a bee."
Really?
I would say, "Oh my God!"
Really?
Or like, what the?
Yeah, listen, I don't have any rationale for why that came out. It just did. And then the guy looked at me and he went, "Oh, sorry." And then he went right up to his seat, like 3 or 4 rows in front. That was the worst sorry ever. It was so bad. The woman next to me turned to me and actually went, "Oh my God, are you okay?" That's how rough that thing came down and smacked me. I had a pop on the top of my head.
People tend to be a little bit histrionic with anything that happens on an airplane. So,
what do you mean? Who was histrionic?
Do we know if this guy was? Do you think this guy was anti-Semitic? Is that where the
story
is going?
No, I don't think this guy was anti-Semitic.
Was he wearing a red hat?
He was not wearing a red hat either. He was an older guy. Had to be in his 70s.
Oh, generational racism is a real thing.
yes, it is a real thing. However, I don't think there was anything behind it other than this psychopath needed to get his bag immediately for whatever reason. I don't know. Maybe he's.
I mean, on a scale of 1 to, I mean, it was a solid hit. I mean,
it hurt. It was not a graze. It was a bad. Imagine just dropping a roller bag, just dropping it right on your head, a roller bag that's full, right on your head from, you know,
well, that's
3 feet up.
Confronting him.
I was pissed off, but he just said sorry and then ran. What am I supposed to do after that? I don't know what to do after that. I was really ticked off. But what am I going to do?
What is this guy supposed to do?
He's supposed. You know what I want? Here's what I want. Here's what I want. I want a legitimate apology. That was a very fast quip. of I'm going to get the hell out of Dodge. I'm going to say sorry and going to, this is what I want. Oh my God, I am so sorry. I didn't mean to do that. It slipped out. Are you okay? Are you all right? Then there's some, I'm not going to, then I'm going to be angry it happened, but not angry at him because everyone makes mistakes. I was more angry kind of the way he handled it. Does that make sense?
But what row were you?
I don't know, 15, 16, something like that.
So he was able to get off that plane and you couldn't have like.
He didn't get off the plane. He was.
This is why I never fly fucking economy. This shit fucking happens to you.
That's true.
Well, that's probably true.
I mean, he was gone also in a flash.
No, I'm not
going to
go find him either. He was like four rows ahead of me. So he obviously.
I think.
It was one of those deals where.
I think you should find him.
Come on. He's 75 years old. I'm not going to fight him. What are you talking about?
Fight him. Oh, find him. Say, hey,
you know what?
No.
He just dropped a bag on my head.
He knew.
And it hurt.
He knew what he did, and he knew it hurt.
Wait a second. Okay.
Yeah.
I have a feeling I know the answer to this question with both of you guys. If you could earn a credit for each time that you've helped someone put their luggage,
I do it all the time.
Or help them take down their luggage, how many credits would you have?
A lot. I do it all the time.
You do?
If I see someone who's either. An elderly person who can't get their bag up there, it's too heavy, or they're short and they can't really, I always step up and I reach in and I put it in there. Always. Hmm. Yep.
Interesting.
I'd have no credits because I am early to board on Southwest. I get right to my seat and the Xanax puts me
right
to
sleep.
Well,
yeah, you're drugged up. You're drugged. So that's, so you can't because you're incapacitated yourself.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Wow.
It's a different story. Do you do it, Omar? How about you? Do you do that?
Yeah. Yeah. She's cute. Yeah. Yeah. Wait, I'm sorry. What are we talking about?
I will also get the bag down at the end. I will also, if someone see, this is what he should have done, and this is what people have done in the past that I've more than graciously helped them. Where if they're a couple rows ahead, they go, "Hey, sir, can you? It's a red bag. It's got blah blah. Can you get that? No problem. And everyone will do that. Everyone will pull the bag out and they pass it up to that person. You don't need to run back four rows just so you get your bag. So it's time when your row has to go out the plane. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah. People need to chill out.
They're nuts. Chill out. Relax. You're not getting out so early. And they always announce like the people who have connections. Like, well, certain people have connections. They only have a certain amount of time. So why don't we let them through? Inevitably, no one ever lets them through.
Yeah.
They clog the lane and I'm going, this is futile. No one ever does it. It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of things where I have faith in humanity, but behavior getting on and off an airplane is not one of them.
Nope.
Yeah.
And look, my wife.
I think it varies by country. If you guys probably haven't been over the other side of the pond.
Yes, we have.
But
we have.
In certain parts of Europe where they're a little more sophisticated,
yeah,
they actually wait for people with transfers to get off.
Well, it's a slower pace. So they should.
Yeah.
They should wait. I told this story to my wife, and she said, well, you always want to get on real quick. I'm like, well, I do want to get on. Like, if whatever my boarding zone is, I want to be at the top of that boarding zone.
You sit aisle or window?
I sit aisle. I always sit aisle, but I want the overhead space is what I want. I don't want to be shut out of overhead space.
But that's the aisle risk is a real thing.
It is, but I want to control.
Yeah. You're in the aisle. If you get there early, everyone walks by you. Their fucking backpack hits you in the head.
Yes.
You know, they roll
constantly.
Your foot.
Yes.
There's all, you can't like,
yes.
People get in, get out the whole flight.
No question. But it's so, look, I was used to be a window guy. And I think I've said this before.
Yeah.
But my problem is now is my prostate is the size of a cantaloupe. And I can no longer be a window guy because I don't want to keep waking people up when I have to pee every 15 minutes. I like to control the flow of traffic. Now, if I'm sleeping and someone from the window wants to get out, it's a little bit of an annoyance. But I'll take the trade off.
Hmm.
Make sense?
Yeah.
Are you guys window guys or aisle guys?
Window.
Omar?
I got to lean.
Yo, you're out cold. You can't be in an aisle. Otherwise, you're immovable.
I'm completely with you on the bathroom thing, especially
you.
In the mornings. And I find the mornings.
Yes.
After I have a coffee or whatever. So there's that problem. So if it wasn't for that, I would be in the window every single
100%.
Time.
100%. I'm with you. I would be in the window as well if it wasn't
so quickly.
For that. Yes.
Yeah.
No question.
Window's better.
Window is better, except for the fact that I just don't want to keep in, you know, it's a pain in the ass to push my way through two people to get to the bathroom.
Do you have to go more than once on a single
it depends,
flight?
It depends on how long the flight is.
A two-hour flight?
Two-hour flight is once. I'll go once.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, and I always try to go before I get on the flight, and inevitably it doesn't matter. I'm like, I went before the flight on purpose. And yet now here I am 45 minutes in this flight. I got to go again.
Are you not taking Finasteride or whatever?
I don't know what Finasteride is.
Finasteride.
I'm taking stuff. No, yeah, I'm taking stuff that helps. But like, so I used to wake up every single night in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom. And now that happens.
You've never once had to go to the bathroom on this podcast.
Well, no, I'm actually, you don't see it, but I'm actually sitting on a portable toilet.
You're wearing diapers?
I'm sitting on a portable toilet. You can't see it.
That's good.
Yeah.
You can see it in your eyes.
Yeah, you'll notice every once in a while. And if I start to grunt a little bit, it's a bad scene.
Oh man.
It's part of getting old. So
do you think that we could put together a highlight reel of our episodes with 80 episodes or whatever we have, 89 episodes?
Are you crazy? It's right. Called Instagram and YouTube, and I've been doing it for a long time now. A highlight reel.
You're talking about greatest hits.
It's all the clips. So, like, all the clips are on.
I'm talking about like greatest hits, like a clip on that.
Yes.
Like that's all together.
What do you want to just put them all together in one big thing?
I want to do what they do on SNL when like Bill Hader would be like the serious like documentary person.
Yeah.
And he'd be like, he would give this ridiculous background to this mockumentary style.
Yeah.
And we actually do it for our own podcast.
Yeah, 100th anniversary special.
Maybe we'll do something for the 100th. How about that?
I like that idea. Well, let's keep going and see how
we spent a lot of time on how I'm doing. Too much.
Yeah.
What do you do, David, when
he's not going to let you do it?
When someone who you enjoy and cherish asks you for a favor that might be borderline inappropriate, over the top, but you care for them. What do you do? How do you view that? Is it a test of your friendship? Nothing ethical.
Is this your topic how you're doing?
No, what is this? This is how I'm doing right now at this moment.
I like that. Fine.
So, I don't. The question?
When you're asked someone you cherish asks you something to do something, it's a real ask.
Yeah.
And how do you handle that? And does it happen to you a lot? People ask you, do you cherish to do things that make you uncomfortable?
Can I ask a clarifying question?
Yeah, you need it.
Is this person going to be you?
No.
That's a good question.
So, no.
Do you need your back shaved? Is that what this is about?
I think I would generally, if it's someone I care about, I would. Did you say it was mildly inappropriate?
Yeah, he said it was inappropriate. Ass. He said it was a big ass slash inappropriate. I don't know what that means. You got to give us an example. What does that mean?
Well,
I bet you I do it more often than I don't.
Yes. And you know, we have to give, I don't know if you guys know this with religion, but you want to have grace for people, right? People's lives are complicated. And so today, it happened with me today, David.
Okay. Now we're getting somewhere.
And it happened when I was talking to Josh.
Uh-oh. We spoke today.
One of the best parts about speaking with you guys, did you guys watch The White Lotus?
I don't watch White Lotus, no.
Okay. Well, Josh is racist. But if you, there's a great scene when Jennifer Coolidge, you know, of Vacation fame.
We're familiar.
Yeah, has this line. She goes, "I love people who have more money than me. They never ask for anything."
Okay.
Right.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I kind of like that. Right. That's a thing. Metaphor for other things.
Oh, I see where you're going with this.
Oh, yeah. So what? Maybe you do. So today I can talk to Josh about pretty much anything.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then I mentioned something offhand.
You did.
To see a certain celebrity.
You did.
I'm like, I'm seeing this person who's, and then Josh immediately goes, "Oh my God, my daughter loves this person."
It's another level.
Like, oh.
Yes.
I'm like, oh. And then I didn't say anything else. No. And then without skipping a beat.
That's right.
Josh said, "Can you FaceTime me with him?"
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. But don't forget the rest of it. I said, if that's not a thing, don't do it. Don't worry about it. I don't care. I just
When is it?
I said
it. Well, David, actually, I want to hear David's reaction, actually. So, David, Josh, you want to give any more information than that?
I don't. So it's a celebrity that he's supposedly going to meet up with. And okay. Here's what I said. I said, "Oh, my God, my daughter loves that dude. I mean, just like really loved, like to the point where for a gift I got her once was a signed picture of him, right? Okay. Okay. And she hangs it. It's framed.
It's not Scott Baio, by the way.
It is not Scott Baio or Ralph Macchio. It's neither of the two, nor is it Kirk Cameron or Corey Feldman or Corey Haim. So that narrows the field.
Oh, those are good.
That narrows the field. Because yeah. Those are the heartthrobs that I know from Tiger Beat. You know, whenever that teen magazine was when we were kids.
Andy Gibb.
Yes, exactly. That's more your speed.
David Partridge.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And I just said, I thought, oh my God, that's amazing. I said, hey, if you can do it, if it works, whatever. Just FaceTime me while you're with that person, if that's cool. If not, don't worry about it. Not a big deal. And he said, yeah.
Wait a second. Yeah. Let David react to this.
Okay. He can react to it.
All right, Mr. Defensive.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
David, do you have any thoughts?
It was David Cassidy from the Partridge family.
It was David Cassidy.
Correct. I said that.
Yeah.
Right. Well, that's Josh being a good dad, looking out for his daughter. I think that's very nice to do that. I think if I was in that situation, it would have to be really high end to ask because it's a tough ask.
That's what I said.
So you'd have to feel very comfortable with it. So I would. I'm okay. I'll allow Josh's request.
Okay, fair enough.
Okay,
so I would give you a lot of room to say no if it doesn't.
I gave him several outs, Dave. Several
Did you?
Outs. I gave, and not only that, but then at the end, I said, "Look, I'm going to tell her, but you tell me right now if this is not a possibility. Because if it's not, I'm not going to say anything to her." And he said, "Yeah." So I told her.
Well, I walked through the optimal way of dealing with it. Optimal. Couldn't be better.
Which is
I'm meeting this person through one of my partners, we're just in the sniffing butts phase, but we're pretty far in, if you know what I mean. And we of sort of working with each other, and we actually have an event that we're hosting together next week in London, LW3 Media plug. But my point is, he is the one who knows this person very well,
right?
And he's already talked to this person about me. And, well, Josh did not know this, by the way.
You told me that.
Okay, perhaps. See, this is where Josh gets me on the memory sometimes. But
yeah, you told me.
Kind of everything. So, David, anyway, the point is that I said, you know what I'll do? Let me ask my new partner if what he thinks. I'll talk about Josh, I'll say how he's part of the ecosystem.
You don't even have to do that.
And then he'll probably say, you want to know what? The vibe's there. And so, you know me, I'm all about the vibes, at least for the first few meetings.
Sure.
Then it goes sideways. But and he's okay with it. So I think that's what's going to happen. Because I think I can get Tom Holland to do it. Because you know
just
what
mentioned
Tom Holland
his name.
Wants to do?
You just mentioned his name.
Who?
Spider-Man.
Yeah, it's Spider-Man.
Oh, shit.
You mentioned his name. Well, too late now. Cat's out of the bag. She loves Tom Holland. Loves him. So look, I even said to him at the end, I go, look, just tell me right now if this is even, if it's not, it's not a big deal. I'm just not going to mention it. But, you know, since you brought it up, I'm going to shoot my shot.
Yeah. Well, and here's the thing, Omar, you're the one person that would do something. You push a little bit more than maybe because you create the vibe, you know, like
that's it.
You're a go for it kind of a guy.
Thank you.
It's a challenge and you rise to challenges. I can kind of see where Josh is looking to you and thinking there's nothing you can't
and
do.
And by the way,
you are so manipulative. Oh my God. It's so terrible.
And by the way,
you know, for the first 20 seconds, you had some semblance of authenticity. Your writing was very good, David. Very good. And then you fucking took it too far.
Well, now you know what it's like talking to you. So look, this is the deal. This is the deal, by the way. I didn't say that you should shake his hand, meet him, and go, hey, I'm going to FaceTime someone real quick for you. Have a get into the conversation. Be like, hey, would you mind if we FaceTime someone for like 2 seconds? It's a big fan that I know, good friend of mine. That's it. He could say no.
I've never met someone better talking to celebrities than you, Josh.
I appreciate that. I'm very good at it.
You're very good at it.
No, that's yes. I don't know. If it's a business setting though, that's a tough one.
No, it's not a business. No. I'm going to his house.
Oh, it's a social then?
Oh, wait a second. I can't say that. Actually, I don't know what I'm doing. I have no idea.
Yeah. So
I might not even be seeing him. So he might be I might be meeing the goblin instead. Maybe it's a bait and switch. Yeah. Goblins can attack us.
Do you think he's got a web?
It's William Dafoe.
No, I think I shouldn't have said his name though. But
you did. I'm not.
Wait,
it out.
It's Loki, it's right? Lesson. Wait. The guy's Loki. What's the guy who's Loki? Who plays Loki?
I don't know who plays Loki.
Tom something or another.
Hiddleston.
Hiddleston.
I like him.
I don't know why. I can't remember people I met yesterday.
All right, here's the
He's
deal.
One of my favorite.
If I meet Tom Hiddleston, I'll FaceTime you.
I will say, Josh, when you sent me that picture of you and Conan,
yeah.
I was so jealous of it. I would love to have a picture of me and Conan.
Yeah, what a legend.
Just walking right in Midtown. And I'm like, oh my God, that's Conan O'Brien. I just stopped him and asked for a selfie.
Yeah. See, now I think Josh would do it for you.
100%.
Omar.
100%.
If he was with, Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah. Or Coco from Ice-T and Coco. I know you're a big fan of Coco.
You know, I would say that, like, Josh, all you want, you're only as happy as your unhappiest child. And also, I think Josh talks to his daughter like once or twice a month at this moment. So this is a way for him to, you know, get his way back in with her a little bit more.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's the forgotten father.
And that's how you bring it up with Tom Holland is say,
He said his name again. This is too much editing now. I'm leaving it in.
Oh, yeah.
It's too much editing. Way too much.
I have a friend who's only as happy as his happiest child.
And then what I'll do is when you do that, then I will do a conference call. I'll third party in Tobey Maguire.
Oh, yeah.
Wouldn't that be something?
Multiverse.
Yeah, that'd be something.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome. Anyway. All right. How are you doing, Dave?
Hey, David.
I'm doing pretty good. I had a busy week. I'm really glad that we're past last week. And this is kind of a low key week with the 4th of July. But yes, I wanted to bring up something that happened that's always been a pet peeve of mine. And maybe I'm wrong on this. I don't know. I find it baffling why people say this. And it happened at the event we were at.
At our event? Yep. Okay. I want to hear this.
So,
what is this event? Is it a hot dog eating contest?
Yes.
What is this event?
Yes, we had a hot dog eating contest.
Is it a baptism?
For work.
It is a large baptism in hot dog water. We bob for hot dogs.
With hot dogs floating out.
How you nailed it. It's so weird that you knew exactly what it was.
Yeah.
So anyway, one of the people who was speaking on a panel, so it's a panel like
it's a conference event. We put on, Omar. It's a conference.
And somebody was talking about their background. And they said something to the effect that they had a very big position. They were in charge of a budget that was like in the billions, maybe trillions. You probably know who I'm talking about, Josh.
Yeah, I do.
And he sort of spoke his background and said it was a lot of responsibility and it's humbling. And I can't stand that when people say something about their accomplishment and then they follow it up by it's humbling.
It's humbling.
That's not humbling.
No.
In fact, you're not being humble at all. Like, what does that even mean to say it's humbling? I used to run five of the largest companies in the United States. It's humbling.
It's humbling.
That's what people, how they use it. That's not, how did that start? That's
because it's
what's humbling is I lost all my money yesterday. It's humbling. Like,
yes, that is humbling. Humbling. Exactly. It's
why do people say that?
Because it's a way to, it's a loophole in bragging.
It is a loophole in bragging.
Yeah, it's a bragging loophole. That's what it is.
I'm calling them out. It's no good.
It's no good. It's a loophole in bragging. That's exactly what it is.
So Omar, you agree?
It's as bad as people thanking God.
When they win a game, when they win a football.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I find that less offensive.
No,
though.
No one ever is upset with God when they lose.
Oh, well.
Right? So why doesn't that happen? So if you're
no, the difference, I think you can
well,
thank.
God damn it.
Well, yeah, but that's not being upset. That's not the same thing. Like in an interview,
hardly the same.
Yeah, if a quarterback throws an interception on the what's supposed to be the game winning drive, they never go, "Oh, God did it to me again."
No, right? I think you can thank God.
Right.
That's fine. It's when they say that like God helped us win, you know, or wanted us to win, or I think it's something
where
they're implying that, you know, yeah, like, other than the Packers.
Like God cared about clearly, one team over another.
Well, he does for the Packers, I'm pretty sure. But
that's true.
And it's humbling.
It is humbling.
All right. Should we start the podcast? We should wait for Omar to stop texting.
No, I'm not texting.
If we're going to wait for Omar to stop texting, we'll never start the podcast.
Okay, yeah. All right, well, let's get things started. So our podcast that we're going to go through is each week, every few weeks, I guess,
yeah,
we each come up with a topic that we have not discussed before, although I might have discussed mine a little bit. But
David's are usually mediocre.
Yeah.
Josh tickles them a little bit, right? And then minor improv, and Josh's are usually about some variation of him staying in an Airbnb
or some bodily function. Yeah.
Or a bodily function.
And I go last because yes, I'm the most boring of the three. So you'll get it. If you not listen to the first 89, you'll pick up pretty quickly. But before we start, we should let you know that if you want to reach out to us, we have an email address, friends@fts.media. We also have a website, friendstalkingshop.weebly.com. And then you can find us on YouTube, Instagram, and TikTok at Friends Talking Shop. Lots to see on our Instagram and YouTube. Josh does an amazing job there.
Thank you.
I think it's effortless, or the amount of effort you put in is amazing.
It's not effortless. That's what you're about to say.
That's what I was going to say.
Far from effortless. Yeah, we try to post often, almost every day.
Yeah, it's incredible. So if you find that you're not getting enough in your Instagram feed.
Josh, what has been your best posting experience? Like,
what do you mean?
Like the most likes or the most, what is your metric of a success for a post?
I'll tell you, it's you would say the obvious thing is just likes. How many likes you get on a particular post.
Uh-huh.
I think it's when you get comments, when people say something about your post. I like that a lot.
Has anybody ever asked you for like my phone number?
Yes, that happens all the time. They slide in my DMs and they want to know how to reach you, and it's too much actually.
It's a lot to manage.
Yes, yep. It's a lot to manage. But we have gotten posts with a lot of attention, a lot of comments, and that's the best part. I like that more than just getting the number of likes.
Have you got marriage proposals? Have those come through?
Yeah, it's nonstop. It's really nonstop. Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's get started. Josh, why don't you kick us off?
All right, so I got something pretty simple, and it's a what would you do situation, and it just happened. So every weekend in the summer, my family goes to the beach. We go to the beach in Jersey, southern Jersey, and it's my parents' house, and what's nice is that my family goes, my sister's family goes, we all stay together, and it's a lot of fun. We have a lot of fun, and we go to the beach when the weather's nice, and it's great. So the beach we go to has a lot of...
Needles?
No needles, but that was well done. It has a lot of things that you can, like, you know, buy along, you know, like in the beach. You know, like there's someone who pushes a cart for iced coffee. There's someone who pushes a cart for ice cream. And then there's another truck it's called Yum Yum that comes to the beach entrance is on like almost every street along the way, and then they sell a whole bunch of cool treats. And so what we love is that Yum Yum truck. And the way you find out that he's there is that he posts his location on Twitter or X, whatever the hell you want to call it, and says, I'm at this street, blah, 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 about to go to this street. And then we keep a watch on it. And it's
there's no music on the fucking thing?
Well, you have to remember, it's at the street level because it's a big truck. So it can't get onto the beach. So from the street to where anyone sits on the beach is a decent walk. And you can't hear.
Hold on. A decent walk for you could mean 10 yards. Can you
That's not. Look, there's a lot of people on the beach. So even if it wasn't, you go over dunes and then you have to go and you put your shit down, and then it's loud. People playing music. You don't hear a truck on the street. You can't hear anything on the street.
Wait, David, you see what he did there?
Yeah.
What did I say?
Did you say dunes?
Because I was going to say, what's a dune?
This is an implicit, like,
what do you mean, what's a dune?
He's attacking me.
I'm not attacking you.
Because my family, is from the Sands. This is insane. What just happened here? Did you see how he said Dune?
Yeah, with derision.
It was.
Derision.
Yeah, we'll play it back. People will judge for themselves.
It was a direct attack.
And I'm not going to apologize for it, by the way, either. So, so you can't hear it. So you got to follow it, right? So the problem, though, is that Yum Yum doesn't take credit cards or Venmo anymore. They only take cash. Mm-hmm. And the carts that are on the beach that you see, the iced coffee, the ice cream, that takes Venmo. So you don't need cash. And no one carries cash anymore. And so this has become a problem. Well, this is the first time we got Yum Yum of the summer. And it was there. And I said, ooh, who wants it? And a lot of people wanted it, right? Because that's the norm. And they have great water ice. They make outstanding water ice. And for those
what
who
flavors?
Don't... You name it. They got cotton candy, rainbow. Yeah. Mango. I don't know if they have mango. I'm not sure if they have mango.
Hey, easy. Don't assume I like mango. It's because I'm fucking Indian. David, you see this?
You're Pakistani. That's number one. So let's correct the record. Number one, you're not Indian. You're Pakistani. So it turned out it was a big order. So it was me. I wanted it. My wife, my daughter, my sister, and my nephew, one of my nephews, also wanted Yum Yum. Now, I said, ooh, I'll just go and Venmo the guy because I don't have any cash. And they said, ooh, I don't know if he's doing that now. And so my sister said, everyone check to see if they had cash. My sister dug out from her bag $8. That's all we had. So I said, okay, I'll walk to the Yum Yum truck. Everybody text me their order. And then you know, I'll bring it back, right? So I make the walk. And I said to everyone, I go, look, if he only takes cash, I don't know, we're screwed. I don't know what we're going to do. So I get my flip-flops on. It's, you know, because the sand is hot. You got to walk on the street. So it's not like, you know. So
You're wearing socks.
I'm not wearing socks. Get up. I put the flip-flops on. I go to the Yum Yum truck. Nobody's there. I caught him just before he's about to go to the next street. And I said, okay. I said, do you guys take Venmo?
Yeah, by the way, I don't think anybody else tracks this fucking truck
they all
their
do.
Phone like you do.
They do. Believe me, they do. It's a big hit. Their stuff is 5x the stuff you get on the beach from the
Let's do an LBO on these guys.
We should do an LBO on this truck. Except for the fact that he did not take credit cards or
there's a lot of upside.
Yeah, there's a operational improvement right there.
That's pretty much what.
Yes.
By the way, to our audience, welcome to private equity. Yes, that is literally the depth
this is
of the value that they provide to the portfolios that they saddle with debt.
Okay, that's not how it works. But anyway, they are.
Yeah, it is.
They're running horribly inefficient. So we could. So I said to the guy, I'm like, hey, and I've been.
What Eddie Lampert did? Isn't that what he made his money?
Okay, are you gonna start being more relevant to the people who are listening?
Come on, Dave's laughing.
Yeah, that's always your vice. If Dave laughs, you just keep going.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
So anyway, so I said to the guy, I'm like, you're still not taking Venmo? He's like, no. I'm like, why not? Why aren't you taking Venmo? I said, I have a big order for you, and now I can't place it. He says, well, it takes too long, and if I get big lines, and then it is a backup. I'm like, it doesn't take long. And he's an older guy, so I can tell he really has no clue what a Venmo transaction entails.
Wait, Josh. Oh, my God, David. Fucking Matt, that TV show Murder, She Wrote or Matlock. We got it. The guy who dropped a suitcase on Josh's head is the same guy who drives his fucking truck.
Yeah.
Is that...
It's not the same guy, but it's equivalent to how I felt. Okay? So it's the same feeling, not the same dude.
Knocked you in the head.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, okay. So I'm going to present you with – I presented you with the facts. The guy refuses to take Venmo. I was ready to do it. He won't take credit. He doesn't have means by which to take credit card, which I told him. I'm like, you know, it's just an app. All you need to do is get an app, and then you can take a credit card with any phone. He had no clue.
Are you harassing this guy?
No, I'm just trying. I'm trying to explain to him that I only have $8, yet I have a big order, and I can't place it now because he doesn't.
Wait, you said you – oh, it's a big order if you have Venmo.
Yes. Yeah. I'm like, look, so here's the question. If you're me, now you're me, I've set the stage. What do you do?
How much longer are you staying there for?
Hours.
Are you coming back the next day?
Yes.
Okay. You're an idiot. It's my short answer to you. You're an idiot.
No.
What you should have done.
I know what you're going to say. You don't, not necessarily the next day, because it always depends on the weather. And I can't remember, by the way, if it was, it might have been Sunday. So maybe I wasn't coming back the next day. I don't remember if it was Saturday or Sunday.
Wait a
second.
David, can I ask permission to speak, David?
You don't need permission to speak. It's a podcast.
So, well, apparently we can't overtalk each other.
That's right. He's following directions. That's right. Good for you.
Very good.
So, very simply, whether or not it was going to rain the next day doesn't matter. You would come back, and I'm like, whatever it is, I will pay you $100 tomorrow. Here's my phone number, or two, whatever. Because you come back and you do it the next day, and that way you enjoy that moment with your family, other than what you usually do, which is making them suffer to spend time.
So
with
I'm going
to
pay $100.
Yes, for that moment.
Okay,
for that moment with your family.
Okay. Can I have some rationality now? That's the stupidest thing ever.
It makes his day. He'll love it. It's such a cute story.
Make
and
his
those
day.
Moments. Wait a second, Josh. This is how trickle-down economics works, okay?
Explain it.
It is not how trickle-down economics works.
Well, it trickles down to him.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
His job is ultimately doing what? Dispensing happiness. He's a local Santa Claus.
And he didn't do it. He didn't dispense happiness because he couldn't.
You had an opportunity for that connection, Josh.
He didn't have the means by which to... Okay.
David, what's your ruling on this?
Can you give me a more rational, reasonable answer for those of us who aren't walking around with hundreds in our pocket?
Here's the thing.
No. And tomorrow you come the next day with 100.
I don't have cash. I don't carry cash anywhere.
No, the next day,
I don't have
Josh.
Cash the next day. I don't carry an ATM card.
Well, someone in your family does. You can figure it out.
Okay, go ahead. Oh, Dave, please.
The more I listen to Omar, maybe it's rubbing off on
me.
Oh,
God.
I think he's on to something here.
No, yes, he's not.
Because, look, you don't need the $100. You know, you're fine. You could spend $100. If you say to him, look, I really want this to be nice for my family right now. I mean, who knows what tomorrow brings? You know, you might never need it.
You could probably come with you the next day because it's such a nice thing to do.
Okay, stop. Can I stop you right there? Let's take this off the table. Let's say, because I'm guessing he's going to say to me, I'm sorry, I can't do that. I'm not going to.
Well, that's fine.
Okay, so let's say that's the case. Give me a real answer, please.
That is the answer.
No, come on. Let's say.
How do you know?
All right, so let's say I do that, and he says, I'm sorry, I'm just not doing that. I don't know you. I see thousands of people come up to my truck all the time, and I'm just not going to do that.
If you're going to make that part of the equation.
Yes, I am going to make that part of the equation.
That is a legit answer, is to say, I'll tell you what, if you give me the stuff now, I'll give you $100 tomorrow.
Okay, take that off the table.
It's a win-win for everyone. I mean,
it's not a win-win for me. I'm not paying him $100 for strawberry water ice.
This is insane that you are unable to see that from the David and I's perspective.
Okay, stop.
It's those moments.
Stop.
It's that story.
Stop.
All right.
Stop. He's not going to take it. Now what?
Okay. All right. So he's not going to take. So now, was the question who gets the food?
The question is, what do you do? What do you do if you're me? I'm sitting there with $8 in cash with a large order.
Well, how much is roughly per order?
Okay. So a small water ice is $3.50, I think, or $3.25, something like that. Small.
You can only.
It's a small water ice. I have about. Let me think. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I have about $20 in. Maybe more, maybe $25,
$30. I would ask him if he has an Uber on his phone.
He doesn't have any of it. He's got nothing. He has an abacus and water ice in his truck. That's what the man has. Oh my God. When I made this topic and I said, oh, this is a good topic, I thought it was going to be very simple and straightforward and easy. What would you do?
You're still upset for being struck on the head, I think.
It's possible.
I would buy for the kids. I would start there.
You don't have enough to buy for all the kids.
No, you buy it for mom. You buy it for mom.
Who's mom? There's my wife.
Your wife. Or is there a universal flavor that was chosen more one more by others?
The kids like rainbow.
So then rainbow.
Is there any way to segment it off where you make some happy though?
No, because your mom. Here's the thing, right? Because Josh is himself inherently selfish, right? No, it's true. Right? His wife, the opposite, selfless.
Yeah.
Right. To be clear. So he's covered with her either way. And she only wants her kids to be happy. Why? Well, they got to hang out with her dad even periodically. So you got to go with the rainbow.
So wait, you could get an order for your daughter.
It's small though. It's not what they want, but it's small. I could get two orders. All I could get.
And who are your choices? Daughter, wife,
I have
you,
me,
sister,
wife, daughter, sister, nephew. Yeah, I think, yeah, I can't remember.
Is anyone terminal?
No one's terminal.
These are important.
Yes.
Good question.
No one's terminal.
I think I would get it for the two kids. Or depending on how they were behaving, maybe I'd get for my wife and my sister.
Okay.
But I would leave me out and I would leave two others out. I'd get two orders and say
I will get. Wait, are they too small or too large orders?
These were all if I could have gotten too small, it's not what they wanted largest. They wanted legitimate.
Okay, here's what you do. Ready?
Orders.
Ready? Ready?
Yes.
Here's what you do. You get two larges.
You can't.
And then?
You can't. You don't have enough.
So you get one large, one small?
You can't have enough. You have enough for two smalls. That's it.
One large wouldn't do.
You could get a large. You could get one large.
I would get a large. I would get a large, and I would get eight cups from him. And then I would bring it back to the family.
That's not a bad idea either. That's not a bad idea either.
Okay. All right.
One big one with small, and you just – it's community cup. Right. I think that's a good one. Josh, you don't give Omar enough credit. I'm sorry.
Not bad, but here's the –
That's not a bad one.
Here's the problem. What do you guys think I did?
You went back and got nothing.
Omar?
I think Josh got it for himself because he had to walk and go over.
Bingo! I got myself a gelati, and I called it a day. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm the one who went up. No one wanted to get up and get it. And I fought to do Venmo. I fought to do a credit card. The guy didn't want to do it. I chastised them about it, tried to shame them into doing it. I'm like, just do it. There was no one behind me. I'm like, there's no one here. Let's do Venmo. He clearly didn't have it. Now, but he has two kids in the truck. Maybe he could have done that.
How did it work out then when you got back?
It didn't work out well at all. They were quite upset with me. And I did. Now, what I did is I offered everyone the gelati because gelati is big. So it's custard and it's water ice and it's big. Now they got upset. I got a flavor that really only I like, and they don't like. So there's that.
It's like Homer getting Marge that bowling ball.
Right, exactly. But
oh man!
So I did take it on the chin, and they called it water ice gate. So it did not go well, and I do understand the flaw in my thinking now. But I felt like, number one, I'm the only one who got up off their ass to do it, number one. Number two, I did try to get the whole order. So it's not like I just said, screw them. I'm just going to
do that. Who was the most upset with you?
My wife was really upset with me.
Yeah. The one who watches all those shows with you?
Yes, she was definitely upset with me. And deservedly so, by the way. I will say that. But when the ice cream cart came along, I did buy it for everyone who wanted it.
Couldn't you have ate it and then came back and said he was gone?
Well, that's what my nephew said. My nephew said to me,
Josh, how much is your wife's love worth to you? It's not worth $100.
Okay. The way you put it like that, that's very deceiving the way you put it. That's a loaded question, and I'm not going to answer that. My nephew did say, why didn't you buy it for yourself and eat it there and then come back to the beach with nothing?
Actually, that's what I would have done, by the way.
Yeah. Well,
you're taunting.
That's way more deceiving. And by the way, then how do I give the money back to my sister, which I just spent on a gelati for myself?
Tell them that was a Bob Dylan song, Blown in the Wind.
Listen, I know the error of my ways, but my thinking was I'm the one who got up. I'm the one who did it. And by the way, I can't satisfy everyone's orders. Someone's going to be unhappy.
Do you notice something in your rationale?
Yes, I do.
Often you're saying the letter I over and over again.
I understand, Omar. I get it now loud and clear. But
the I is the fucking problem.
Yeah, I get it. Now, here's what I'll do. I'll just carry around $8,000 with me like you do everywhere.
Well, maybe you should.
I don't.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I have, though, Josh? American ingenuity. God bless this country, Josh. God fucking bless
you
it.
You do have it. Anyway, that's my topic. Let's move on. Yeah. That was not what I wanted.
Omar had you pegged.
He did.
Had you?
He had me. Yeah, he did. He had me pegged.
All the way through, he saw this coming. I think
I'm too much of a pragmatist. You know, it's like I thought, like someone's going to be upset.
Pragmatist.
Yes,
that's not the right word.
I'm
to
very
use.
Pragmatic. Of course it
if
is.
If you were pragmatic, you would have met that guy the next day through rain, sleet, or
that's
snow.
That's not pragmatic at all.
$100.
That's not
bring
that's,
pragmatic for the happiness of your family.
That's the opposite of pragmatic.
Mm, wow. Know,
I think the word is selfish. I think that's
that's the word.
That's the word. Yeah.
Oh, wow. I was also very pragmatic.
That's a good one. Well, you know, look, I pray for your family, Joshy, every
thank
day.
You. Thank you. Thank
I do.
I appreciate that.
All right, Omar, what's your topic?
So, one of the fascinating things about when you're, you know, I've been working on my own. You guys have known me for working like just me for 15, 20 years.
Yes.
Me and my doggies. And now I have like people who work with me.
Yeah.
I can't even say, you know, and I don't want to be the boss. I don't want to do any of it.
You are the boss.
Right. Well, that's something I'm trying to begin to internalize in some ways. It's a difficult thing for someone who's not used to being taken seriously. And I don't want to be taken seriously.
All right.
But having said that, one of the things that
I have good news for you on that front.
It's so true.
Keep on keeping on.
Yeah.
Is that I have to be, you know, I massage egos for a living. And sometimes when there's things that happen, I need to be able to reposition something and how people communicate to each other.
Okay.
Right. And there was an email exchange where, someone on our team to somebody else on our team started a phrase with the words, like I said, and then continued on and on and on.
Yep.
And I noticed it and I didn't really think, I'm like, oh, that's interesting. And I didn't read the email because I mean, what am I gonna do with those emails? Right. And, delete anyway. So, the next day that, and it was like six people were on the email.
Okay.
Right. Internal and external people. And the person who was whatever was like, you know, whoa, I'm like, oh yeah, I'm like, I saw that too. So I'm like, oh, I'll talk to the person about this. Who said the,
this
like
person
I said,
who works on your team.
Yes. Yes. Correct.
Okay.
Correct. And I said, hey, listen, like when you use those words, mm-hmm. like it's like me saying to somebody, do you know who I am? Nothing you say afterwards is going to be received in any way other than that person is an asshole.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? There's nothing you can say that comes after those words. And the person I was talking to was, you know, it was a half an hour conversation.
Oh, wow. They didn't understand.
Yeah. But they're like, well, if you saw the rest of the thread of the email, and I'm like, that's not the point. It doesn't matter what you say afterwards. And so it got me thinking, you know, and we were fine afterwards. It got me thinking, what are other like phrases that are like that? Mm. And so do you guys have any that come to mind?
Yeah. When someone says, not to be disrespectful, but. That's immediately going to be disrespectful. Yeah. That's immediate.
Yeah.
So like but your phrase, like I said, yes, I think so. I think 99 out of 100 times, it's almost like you're saying, look, I already said this and you're making me say it again.
Right.
Right. Is that how you interpret it, Omar?
Yeah. And it just implies
it's combative.
So many things that are like totally unnecessary.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know?
I agree with that.
It's negative talk. Yeah.
But you can spin it. But the person's right. I don't know who this person is, but they're right in the fact that you do have to read what's after that. You could say, like I said, you're a really handsome dude. Isn't that nice?
That's
good. That's a good, right?
Followed by a compliment, it isn't as bad.
Wouldn't that be all right to say that?
No, but what if I said, hey, as I mentioned previously, and said it more in artful language, not as I said.
That's
I think as I said, or saying something like, why? Because I said so, or, you know, it's just kind of sharp and pointed.
Yes.
But I think I've said many times, like, you know, as we discussed previously, or.
Yeah. The way to phrase it is this, ready? You're like, you know what? I'm terrible at talking about this. So I've explained it before. I'm not even sure if I have or not, but. Right. That's how I say that.
But that's not an email. You don't type that, what you just said. That's more conversational. You're talking.
Oh, this is an email. Yeah. I'm sorry.
You said it was an email.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm sorry. I thought you meant me communicating to him about it.
No. Yeah. What Dave's saying is I like Dave's phrase better instead of, like I said, as we've discussed prior, or something like that.
No, but even that.
No, you don't like that?
No, no. You just don't. You say to the person directly, not on a group thread. It doesn't need to be said that way. It could just be acknowledged that person can be talked to directly, especially at a small firm.
Yeah.
It's unnecessary. Look, I'm all about microaggressions. I want them around all of us at all fucking times.
You do?
That's how you get good. Yes, of course.
Okay. So why are you against this microaggression?
Well, as long as they're done in a supportive manner, it has to be intentional, not a grenade thrown off because of, maybe someone a loose way of phrasing something that can be misinterpreted.
So
unnecessary.
Can I ask you this? Was it more the like I said, or was it what followed it that the like I said dug deeper? Do you know what I mean? Because you can say like I said, because you don't, and imply like because you don't pay attention to anything I say. I'm going to repeat myself so you hear it this time. That's how it comes across the way you described it. But you can
also. That's a good way of saying it.
Right, but then you could also say, like I said, you know, things happen in this business. You know, you could say,
no, Josh, but it wasn't that.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But it could be
what
that.
Fuck, do you think I would even brought it up?
No, I mean, but you specifically said anything you say after like I said is going to be bad, and I disagree.
Yeah, well, I think that there's about a 97% correlation there, but yeah. But like, do you guys, I'm sure you guys have people who sometimes can be, aren't the best communicators.
Mm. Well, what about this one? I feel like I've said this before in an email or speaking where it's someone, I do want to point out that we had this discussion before. It's a fact that happens to me quite frequently these days. And I might say like, as you might recall, how about that one?
That's the same thing. The same thing.
You don't like that at all?
No.
Why? Just what if you have to repeat something?
I say, you know what I say on email? Excuse me, I'm Josh. I would say, I'm not sure if I sent anything before me. I think I may have did, but I'm not sure. ... But then I'm like, but here it is. I thought I sent it before. Maybe I didn't. I'll say something like that.
So you want to pass the buck to yourself as being.
Yes.
Yeah.
Always.
You want to be. Okay. I see what you want to take.
Yeah. What do you think I do in conversation with you idiots? It's a constant battle.
Yeah, well,
as you call us idiots.
You and me both. I just looked up. Here are five disguised criticism phrases.
There you go. Let's lay it on us.
I guess we have different standards.
Oh, that's a bad one. That's ugly. I think that's really ugly.
Oh, this is a good one. Whatever you think is best.
No, I don't think that's bad because that could be you're just deferring to.
Depends on the tone. It could be like, I give up. Whatever you think is
that's
best.
That's different. You know, that's different. Okay. Yeah.
I don't know, Josh. Whatever you think is best.
You see, I appreciated that. Thank you.
That really?
Yeah.
That was totally insincere. No,
how about
that's not how I took it.
I like this. Okay. If you're happy with it, that's what matters.
Okay. That's
if you're happy with it, that's what matters. Hey, David, you have to actually check them out. Okay. Oh, I have a list as well, but let's go on. This is good.
But that one, right. That one is condescending. So that one, yeah. That like one that. You can hear it's condescending regardless of how you act it out.
All right. Good. Next one.
Next one.
Yeah.
I didn't realize we were doing it that way now.
Yeah, that's bad. Also condescending.
I've heard that from my team so many times.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, wait.
I heard that one from my proctologist, actually.
This last one, that's certainly one approach.
Yeah, again, condescending. This is the tongue-in-cheek. Yeah, you're doing it.
Here's some more.
Way I would do it.
Oh, you got some? Sorry.
As I already explained.
Yes. Yeah.
That's a bad.
If you were listening.
Oh, that's off. Bad. That one's bad. That's
Let
way
me
worse.
Educate you.
That might be that's the worst one.
With all due respect.
That's what I just said. With all due, remember? No disrespect. Yes. Same thing as with all due respect. Yeah, same thing.
Power plays. Ready?
Yeah.
I'm friends with the owner. Yeah. I went to Ivy League school, so
yeah.
These, I've been doing this for 20 years. Jesus.
Yeah, that's
we all hear that.
That's a bad one. Yep.
I'm a very busy person.
Yeah, I don't say that.
Passive aggressive ones. You always.
Is there more?
It must be nice to.
Wait, what's with the you always?
No, you always do this. You whatever. Always do that.
Yeah. It's a bad thing to say.
All right.
You never. Awful. Yeah. It must be nice to.
Yeah, that's a bit. Yeah, that one's bad. Yeah. Yeah.
That's just common sense.
Yeah. Yeah, that's just common sense.
That's a bad one.
Yeah.
Faux polite. No offense, but.
Well, that's again, that means you're about to insult somebody. Yes. You're just setting,
correct
you're
me
setting
if I'm
up.
Wrong.
It's an insulting loophole. We had our bragging loophole earlier. That's your insulting loophole. When you preface your insult with something like, I don't mean to insult you, but yeah.
I'm just being honest.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a bad one. Yeah.
And then
I never write that.
Some people are professionals in this one. You're overthinking this.
Yeah.
You're sensitive.
Oh.
Yeah. These are all bad ones.
That's not what I meant, and you know it.
Yeah, but that one's more argumentative. I don't mind that one because it's not you're not opening up a conversation with it. You're responding with that.
Yeah,
I hear this a lot from you guys, these phrases.
No.
Stop.
Which one?
You just literally just said three of them right now.
No, we didn't.
Your responses.
Listen, if you're happy with that, then that's fine, but that's not what we say. We don't ever say shit like that.
I'm kidding.
I think I've said I'm busy. What was the one of the busy? Like
I'm a busy man.
I'm a busy person.
Yeah. I'm a busy person.
I mean, I don't say it like that.
Is anyone really that busy? I mean,
yeah, there are people who are busy.
But I don't know. Listen to me. Wait a second. Hear me out, okay? If I called you, okay, like twice, you guys, each of you would respond to me in some way at some point.
Yes.
Right? It's not, if you're busy, it means that you're just tired of people's shit. You got to prioritize force rank.
If you're saying I'm busy, you're tired of people's
yes.
shit.
Yes. Bingo.
Right.
You can't ever say you're busy. The only thing the only busy you should use if you want to get busy with someone. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I hear you, but people are busy. I mean,
everyone's busy, Josh.
No, not everyone's busy. That's not true at all. Yes. It's not true in the least. Not everyone's busy.
Everyone's busy. Well, correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah. All right.
I'm done.
That was decent. That was well played.
All right.
Dave,
I'm gonna switch my topic.
You ranking my fucking stories? What is this? Who are you? I'm gonna rank your story.
Who ranked your story?
Your story. You just said that was good. That was decent. Your story wasn't even good. It wasn't even good.
Yes, it was. You said it was good.
I already forgot it. I already forgot your topic.
You didn't. It's the ice cream.
Dave,
it's the ice cream. You didn't forget it.
Yum yum.
Not even buying anything you're saying. I was complimenting you because normally you serve us a shit sandwich. So I was very this has been one surprise.
Come on. What?
All right, Dave, take us home.
My topic. I'm going to change my topic a little bit. Which this goes along the lines, Josh, you've pointed out in the past of watching older movies and realizing.
No. He said he liked older women.
No,
two very different things, David.
Like I said, Josh was talking about older movies.
Yes, older movies. Yes,
older movies, and how they're like not appropriate, and somehow back in the day we just let that go.
Correct.
We didn't know better. Standards were different.
Yeah.
I thought about this a little bit as we are having our event next year, Omar, and we want to do a Sweet 16 theme.
Yes.
Mm. And I keep thinking about the movie 16 Candles.
Because it's a 16th year. That's why we're doing Sweet 16. We're not doing it because we love the
Is Sweet 16 like a bar mitzvah too at the same time? What's the difference?
That's 13. But a Sweet 16 is like it's an American birthday where it's a special
birthday.
Did you
throw your family a bar mitzvah?
You don't throw your family. Josh? You throw the person who turns 13. Yes.
What was yours like?
Mine was a...
For your daughter.
Oh, it was great. We had a great time. It was awesome.
You had like Patti LaBelle sing or something?
Yes, we had Patti LaBelle. She was fantastic. And Michael McDonald came and did a duet with her. It was It was quite special because that's what 13-year-old girls love: Patti LaBelle and Michael McDonald duets. Yes,
probably maybe a Taylor Swift person.
That would be better, I think. Yeah,
I'm sorry. Get back to your 16 party.
Yes.
Well, my topic's about Sweet 16, but I was thinking about 16 Candles and how that movie doesn't age well.
No.
But you know what also doesn't age well? And I don't know why my parents allowed this to happen. I'm stealing this topic from somebody else. It was either a TikTok or something I saw, which not TikTok, but someone. But Kenny Rogers songs.
Okay.
Do you recall Kenny Rogers
songs? Of course. I love Kenny Rogers.
Of course, with the Groundhog.
The Groundhog.
This is it.
No, that's Kenny Loggins. Right. Kenny Loggins. That's Kenny Loggins.
Oh my God, The Gambler.
The Gambler.
Song I ever sang on stage.
It's a great song, The Gambler.
Yeah, Gambler. I think about that.
Islands in the Stream.
Cards.
Great.
Coward of the County. Coward of the County.
It's interesting that you mentioned Coward of the County.
Yes. Why? Who you call it a coward?
Oh, neither. Nobody. But do you understand the story behind the Coward of the County?
No.
But I love that song. I literally know it every word for word.
Okay.
Every word.
You must not realize what you're singing. You're just putting words together because it's not a song that's appropriate. I think my folks allowed me to listen to Kenny Rogers.
No, it's about a father and a son relationship.
Yes.
Yeah, and how his father, like, because he never wanted him to fight back.
Correct. And do you know how the song ends?
No.
Yes. Of course I know, David. Come on.
All right, well, here, let me read it to Josh.
Yeah,
okay?
Please, because I haven't heard this song in so long.
It's a beautiful song. It's a beautiful song.
Mm.
All right, so I'll kind of paraphrase. I'll read a couple. But all right, everyone considered him the coward of the county. He never stood one single time to prove the county wrong.
So
his
great.
His mama named him Tommy, but folks just called him Yellow. But something always told me they were reading Tommy wrong. So basically, Tommy's dad went to jail.
Oh.
And Tommy's dad sat him down and said, "Promise me, son, not to do the things I've done. Walk away from trouble.
Walk away from trouble if you can.
Yep.
Okay.
Please don't say the weak.
Now, it won't mean you're weak if you turn the other cheek. I hope you're old enough to understand.
That's a great message.
Son, you don't have to fight to be a man.
Oh,
great message. What a nice message.
Yes.
So Tommy grows up and he marries Becky, Becky's sweet wife, right?
Okay.
All right, let's go to this verse here. One day while he was working, the Gatlin boys came calling. They took turns at Becky.
What?
And there were three of them.
What?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Wait, stop. What does take turns at Becky mean? What does that mean?
They raped her.
They raped her?
Yes.
I think this is David's point.
Are you sure about that? Are you sure they just weren't flirting with her?
Let me go back. There's someone for everyone, and Tommy's love was Becky. In her arms, he didn't have to prove he was a man. One day, while he was working, the Gatlin boys came calling.
Okay.
They took turns at Becky, and there was three of them. And when Kenny Rogers sings that line, he stops singing, and he says, "And there was three of them." Like, he, in a dark, in a deep voice,
interesting.
There were three of them.
That's dark.
So Tommy opens up the door and saw Becky crying. The torn dress, the shattered look,
that's
was more than he could stand.
That's a rape. Yeah.
He reached above the fireplace and took down his daddy's picture. And as his tears fell on his daddy's face, he heard these words again. "Promise me, son, you won't do the deeds I've done. Walk away from trouble." But then basically, Tommy finds the Gatlin boys. You want me to keep going with the story?
Yes, I want to know what the hell happens. I'm on the edge of my seat now.
Gatlin boys are a tough lot, Josh.
I can already tell from the song, Omar.
Gatlin. If your last name was Gatlin, you had no chance of a decent life, right? You were mean. Yeah.
There's
your best chance of a success is becoming a professional wrestler.
Now there is a town in Tennessee called Gatlinburg.
True.
Yes.
That's true. Hmm? But
it's a very American.
All right. Anyway, well, the Gatlin boys, so he met him at a bar. The Gatlin boys just laughed at him when he walked into the bar room. One of them got up and met him halfway across the floor.
Oh, my God.
When Tommy turned around, they said, "Hey, look, old Yellow's leaving." But you could hear a pin drop when Tommy stopped and locked the door.
Ooh.
20 years of crawling was bottled up inside him.
How did he lock the door of a public bar? That doesn't make any sense. He doesn't have the keys.
Tommy figured out.
Yeah.
He wasn't holding nothing back. He let him have it all. When Tommy left the bar room, not a Gatlin boy was standing. He said, this one's for Becky, and he watched the last one fall. It's unclear if he just beat him up.
I think he beat him up. I don't think he killed him. No.
But he sings, I promise you, Dad, not to do the things that you've done. I would walk away from
sometimes
trouble.
Sometimes you have to fight.
But sometimes you got to fight when you're a man. That's the message.
I don't mind this story at all. You don't think this is appropriate anymore?
It's a story about sexual attack.
Yeah, but this was not an okay sexual attack. It's not a story about how this was awesome.
That's true.
You know, he
gonna start burning fucking books now, Dave Erickson.
I don't understand what you're talking about. What's
the matter with you?
It's just it's a little heavy.
It's not appropriate for a 7-year-old, right? It's pretty heavy stuff.
Listen. Okay.
The kids don't understand.
What the hell's going on, number one. Number two.
You can turn it to Becky Miller playing fucking Twister.
The song would not be nearly as good if the third verse were about reporting this incident to the police and then taking her to a rape center for tests and everything.
Oh my God,
that
Josh.
That would be a very bad song. This is the climax of the song.
Maybe they were arm wrestling.
Stop. I like this. I like that story.
I love it.
How about one more?
Go ahead.
Can you give me one more?
Yeah, absolutely.
Are you familiar with the song Ruby?
By who?
Kenny Rogers.
Mm-hmm.
Ruby.
Boy,
it's more of a love song.
Kenny Rogers.
Ruby, Don't Take Your Love to Town is not a love song. It is. All right. So this one's a little shorter. I can read it.
Yep.
Okay. So Ruby. All right. So verse one, you've painted up your lips and rolled and curled your tinted hair.
I know where this is going. Is Ruby a hooker?
Ruby, you are contemplating going out somewhere. The shadow on the wall tells me the sun is going down.
Uh-huh.
And then the chorus is, oh, Ruby.
Boy, it's like,
don't take your love to town.
Boy, if you close your eyes, it's like Kenny Rogers is in the room. I don't know if you felt that, Omar. I had goosebumps. I have goosebumps when that just happened.
It was so nice seeing David sing like that. That's nice.
So keep going.
So he's just watched his wife.
Wife? Are we sure it's his wife, Ruby?
Yeah, let's keep going.
Yeah,
let's find out.
Might not be.
Verse two. It wasn't me that started that old crazy Asian war, but I was proud to go and did my patriotic chore. Yes, it's true. I'm not the man I used to be. Oh, Ruby, I still need some company. It's hard to love a man whose legs are bent and paralyzed.
Oh, wow.
And the wants and the needs of a woman of your age.
Oh, boy.
Ruby, I realize.
Okay.
But it won't be long, I've heard them say, until I'm not around. Oh, Ruby, don't take your love to town.
Okay, I got it.
Verse three. She's leaving now because I just heard the slamming of the door. The way I know I've heard it slam 100 times before.
Oh, my God, Ruby.
And if I could move, I'd get my gun and put her in the ground.
What?
Oh, Ruby, don't take your love to town.
Okay. This is harsh. So,
last refrain, Ruby,
yeah.
For God's sake, turn around.
Okay, so here's how I read the story. He went to Nam.
Yes.
He got paralyzed in Nam obviously from the war.
Right.
Now, when you can't really tell if Ruby was maybe a Vietnamese hooker that he met and brought up back, met Ruby when he came back. It doesn't matter. But he obviously doesn't have. He can't satisfy her because of his now injured body. And so Ruby staying married to him in order to get that part of her life fulfilled goes to town to meet somebody else.
Right.
Or maybe several somebody else's and then comes home to him.
Picture.
Okay.
Yeah.
So here's the problem with this song. There obviously is not an understanding that this is okay behavior from Ruby because he doesn't seem to like it. So why doesn't he just get divorced? Why don't you just divorce Ruby? Why do you have to kill her?
He's got no legs.
He can still divorce. People with no legs are allowed to get divorces. I don't know if you know that.
No, I know. I'm saying, but he loves Ruby, and he wants her desperate to stay. He's married this woman.
But he's asked her several times, and she's still going out in town. By the way, sounds like quite a bit, too. But, you know, it's not even like she gets a hall pass like once every month. She seems to be going out every Friday and Saturday night, which is awesome.
But imagine, I'm 7 years old listening to this, yes. And he's like, well, Ruby's going. I'm getting my shotgun.
Right.
I might put her in the ground.
Right.
I guess that's what you do when you get older and Ruby goes to town. It's weird, right?
It's weird.
My parents were as probably careful as possible about the music I listened to, but this made it through.
You know
and
why?
I never thought twice about
Here's
it.
Here's why. Because it's not like death metal or Metallica or something like that we listened to as kids, that was like, oh, the devil's music, or that, you know, was like, It's Kenny Rogers. Kenny Rogers is about as innocent as it gets on the surface.
Yeah,
no one would ever think he's painting these ridiculous pictures with his lyrics. That Ruby song, I got to listen to it now because I don't think I've ever heard that. That's heavy.
It's a heavy song. It's a heavy
song. Also, there's other songs that are like that, right? Like
of course.
Delia.
What song?
Delia's Gone by Johnny Cash.
I don't know that song.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know that song.
Is Johnny Cash?
Delia or like Delia deals on my mind. If I hadn't shot poor Delia, I would have had her for my wife.
He shot
Delia's
her.
Delia's Gone. Yeah.
Yeah.
So first there time you go. I shot her in the side. Second shot, she suffered.
He shot her multiple times?
Yes. The second shot, she died.
Yeah. Well, listen, I don't know how you explain these things. But here's what I would say. When you're a kid, you sing lyrics without having any clue what the hell they mean.
You don't think that. I mean, as I heard the song, I haven't heard it in 40 years, probably.
Dave.
More. And I heard it and I thought, I remember singing these lyrics.
Yeah.
And just singing along, get that rifle, put it on the ground.
I used to think Smooth Operator by Sade. You remember that song, Smooth Operator by Sade? Smooth operator, he's a smooth. I used to think that was actually about a telephone operator, of someone who actually was on the board putting the plugs into different holes, connecting people via a telephone. Because it says coast to coast, LA to Chicago. I thought, okay, this operator is just putting people through from coast to coast.
Yeah. Well, listen, Sledgehammer. Love Sledgehammer.
Yes, Sledgehammer. What is Sledgehammer? What is Sledgehammer about?
Yes. Go ahead.
It's. I don't know. You tell me, Josh.
It's sexual. It's entirely sexual. It's a euphemism. And you would never know that. And I used to sing Sledgehammer when I was a kid. I loved that song. I thought it was actually about a hammer, a tool.
Around your free cage.
Is it really sexual? Are you sure about that?
Yes, it's a euphemism. Yes.
Think about it.
Yes. You think he's singing about a hammer that you get at Home Depot?
You want me to read?
Are you sure about this? I didn't even know this is a fucking thing.
Like I said, Omar, these lyrics, nobody thinks about when they're singing. You just don't.
All right. Verse from Sledgehammer. You could have a steam train if you just lay down your tracks.
Correct.
You could have an aeroplane flying if you bring your blue sky back.
Yes.
Bumper car. You could have a Big Dipper
going
up and down all around the bends. You could have a bumper car bumping. The
amusement never ends.
It's
not in your face.
Straightforward as Kenny Rogers.
Yes, yeah, it's not in your face.
Yeah, I'll pass. I don't think that's such pop art.
But if you watch the video of Sledgehammer, the video is not sexual at all. It's actually a pretty cool video, and it shows bumper cars.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
Bet you if we had David Byrne on this, by the way, maybe we should.
Yeah, we'll get him.
Right?
We'll get him.
He would not want us to be talking about that song.
Hey,
it's such better.
David Byrne didn't write
this
that song. That's Peter Gabriel.
Peter Gabriel, Salisbury Hill.
Yes.
Come on. That's what we should be talking about. Your Eyes.
No, but those.
Not Sledgehammer.
Yeah, but you're not getting the topic that Dave has. We're not talking about great songs. We're talking about songs we misunderstood as kids that have heavier meanings.
By the way, can we get Peter Gabriel? If you meet Peter Gabriel, Omar, can you FaceTime?
FaceTime Dave because he loves Peter Gabriel.
is that your hall pass?
Yes, that's his hall pass.
If there's one person in this world I'd like to meet, I actually think it would be Peter Gabriel.
Wow, that's heavy.
Yeah, because his songs have
been
through my whole life.
I love Peter Gabriel. Peter Gabriel's awesome. You've seen him in concert.
Yeah, a number of times.
Josh, what kind of music do you listen to?
I listen to everything except the following. No, I listen to almost everything, and even my wife's starting to get me into a little bit of country, even though I don't like country.
Oh, my God. Can I send you my country playlist?
Can I send you my country playlist?
Can I send you my country playlist?
Yes, you can send me your country playlist.
Send it to me, too.
My God.
I'm not
going to
listen to it.
You guys are going to love it.
Okay, right. Settle down. All right. It's just a playlist.
So good.
Relax. It's a playlist. No one's playlist is amazing.
Will you please have passion for something that isn't just the Eagles?
Do you notice something, by the way?
Or the Sixers?
Here's,
this is your life. I need you to really evaluate
Listen
that.
To me.
I mean, I have to tell you, if that beach wasn't your family and it was Julius Erving or Allen Iverson or AI, guess what you would have done? You would have met that guy the next day and gave him $100. I know that for a fact.
No, I wouldn't have.
Dave, nope. Thoughts?
Nope.
My thought is we're going to wrap up this podcast.
Yes, I believe we do too. But by the way, nobody's playlist is amazing. Nobody likes anyone else's playlist. You always like your own.
I bet you that you would both like my playlist.
Okay.
All right. Well, send it to us.
Send it to us.
On the website. Speaking of which, if
you actually, I would be happier to do that.
Okay.
That was supposed
to
be
It's real country western music, though.
Yeah, that's why no one's going to like it.
Go ahead. I was using it as a segue.
Yes, He was using a segue.
Wrap it up.
To wrap it up.
Our email address is friends@fts.media. friendstalkingshop.weebly.com is our website where you'll find lots of things, including Omar's country playlist. And find us on YouTube, Instagram, and TikTok @friendstalkingshop. Until next time, bye, everyone.
See ya.
Smile later.